going quite so well.
Time now is 9 minutes to nine. Do you remember this tune from 2005? It's an amazing concept for a song, really. In case you didn't recognise it, that was Kate Bush singing her 2005 track Pi, in which she sings the number Pi at some length, digit by digit. The lyrics describe a sweet and gentle and sensitive man with a complete infatuation with a calculation of Pi. We're joined this morning by the man whose extraordinary feat of memory is thought to have been the inspiration for Kate Bush's track, Daniel Tammet, author of Born on a Blue Day. He's got a truly astonishing memory. He set the European record in 2004 for reciting the number Pi from memory after recalling it to 22,514 digits. He's both autistic and has synesthesia, where the senses are interconnected. We're joined by Daniel and also Professor of Neuroscience at the University of Cambridge, John Simons. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for joining us, guys. Professor Simons, if I could start with you, I should explain the reason we've invited you both on today is that, John, you're launching a project today to find super memorizers, people who have exceptional memories. What's your motivation?
Well, we're really interested in finding people who've got exceptional memory to try to understand why some people are much better at remembering than others. You know, some people have very reliable and accurate memories, and some of us feel that perhaps our memories are not quite as good as they used to be. But there are some people who are right at the end of the scale with exceptional memories, people like Daniel, for example, and we're really interested in finding out how they do it.
And just before we bring in Daniel, I mean, I should say lots of parents would be particularly interested in this because we do have an education system that prizes and rewards memory. To what extent, based on what we know now, John, to what extent is memory heritable, and to what extent is it like a muscle that you can actually build by practice?
Yeah, that's really interesting. There's certainly, you know, I think sort of some idea that there's a genetic sort of precursors perhaps to having a good memory. But certainly we can do a lot in terms of exercising our memory to make our memories as good as we can possibly make them. And that's one of the things we're really interested in doing with this big new study, actually, is are people who are super memorizers, you know, do they have a particular thing with their brain? Is it something to do with their brain structure or their function? Or is it actually just that they're using kind of strategies, really useful strategies to boost their memory abilities, perhaps not really conscious necessarily of doing it, but those strategies that can help to enhance their memory abilities, and perhaps that's something that we can learn from.
Well, let's talk to one. Daniel, let me bring you in, because remarkably, Daniel, you were only diagnosed with autism, as I understand it, at the age of 25. How did that change your life?
Yes, it did absolutely change my life. Before then, I was a child in East London, and my parents are very, you know, simple people, no university background at all, and so we didn't know why I was so different, why when I saw words in a book, numbers as well, I saw colors and textures and emotions, and they really formed landscapes in my mind, poems, stories, and they were incredibly, so it's an incredibly imaginative and creative experience. It was very immersive as well. It was.
And like I imagine you probably thought everyone else was thinking the same thing, or everyone else was having a brain like yours. It's only when you're 25 you realise how unusual you were.
Well, that's it. I went to Cambridge and I participated in the studies. I was also in Oxford at some point to recite the number, this amazing poem in numbers, which is the poem Pi in my mind. And it launched my public career almost 20 years ago now, and I have since written many books exploring the perception and exploring what we call now today, but which didn't exist 20 years ago, the neurodiverse experience.
I was going to say, do you feel on that, it's so interesting you use the words what we call today, because do you feel, Daniel, that you've lived through, you are in some ways the personification of something of an intellectual and social revolution where we understand autism so much better now because of advances in neuroscience, but we've also gone from perhaps stigmatizing it to seeing it as a superpower?
Yes, I mean, what we're assisting in today, what we're witnessing is in the last 20 years, and what I've perhaps been, unbeknownst to myself, a pioneer in, is this awareness that there is, you know, many, there are many forms of cognitive experience, inner lives, of individuals that are on the neurodiverse spectrum can be incredibly rich, which scientists didn't realize until, you know, fairly recently, and whether that's in memory, whether that's in creativity and imagination and so on. And it's a body of work such as mine, and the books that I've written over the many years that I've been writing that and translated around the world, which help readers to understand, you know, how minds perceive differently, whether that's autism, whether that's synesthesia, whether that's epilepsy, whether it's because there are grandmasters who think in chess, for example, or people who think in multiple languages. And all of this obviously has an incredible impact on how people remember, but also how people see themselves and see the world around them.
I was very moved by the way you describe it. I read that you described your relationship with Pi as being like a friendship. What did you mean by that? Yes. Just that, did you talk to the number? Did you hear from the number?
Well, in fact, when I was reciting Pi, it was a story that I was reciting, but it was my story. I'd so grown up in a very working class background, and my father was schizophrenic. My grandfather was epileptic, was institutionalized for his epilepsy. And I'd had a very difficult childhood, very lonely, didn't understand why I was so different to other children. And I found in the numbers of Pi, ironically, paradoxically, the words to describe. So reciting the numbers in Pi in front of an audience, a live audience in Oxford in 2004, it actually was a very moving experience. And I realized that if I had a gift, it was not only to count, but it was actually to recount.
And that gave you a sense of companionship. Daniel, I'm so sorry, we've got to interrupt there. I've got to say that Professor John Simons, if you are someone a bit like Daniel, if you've got a super memory, the team at University of Cambridge would like to hear from you. So do get in touch with them. Professor John Simons is launching that search now. Whereas now, with 2 minutes to go till 9, we're going to go back to Alice Hughes, our royal harpist.